Statements and opinions by guests of Mysterious Radio are not to be considered as endorsed by sponsors or affiliated networks. Any rebroadcast, reproduction, or other use of this podcast without the express written consent of Mysterious Radio is strictly prohibited.
Get ready for a night filled with conspiracies, strange places, the paranormal, UFOs, legends, and myths from around the world. With your hosts, K-Town, on Mysterious Radio.
All right, here now is part two with my special guest, Ole Damigard, here to discuss false flags and the coronavirus. Can you tell me one thing that I did hear about that came out of the Las Vegas shooting is that some of the people that may have been there and witnessed some things that were not right, they actually ended up dead. Did you look at that part of it? Like when people are reporting to the media, you know, this didn't look right to me. I witnessed it. And in this case, they were saying that they saw more than one shooter in Las Vegas, that these people are, you know, ending up dead in strange ways.
Yeah, unfortunately, that is standard procedure. I think in Las Vegas, as far as I remember, there was eight people that claimed to have seen different things. The Las Vegas shooting, mass shooting, is a very, very different operation than most of the other ones. It's very, very complex, multi-layered. I'm still confused when it comes to that exact one. So, but around that, you will see the problem with many of these operations, even assassinations as well, is that it's the truth. They fear the truth, that the truth, that's the only thing they're afraid of, the dark state behind these operations, the truth. So when somebody has seen too much or they know too much, that is called blowback, and they need to minimize blowback. And often this is taken care of in very brutal ways, through management by fear, as I call it, or death and accidents, drownings, and so on. So it's that is also one of the reasons I live in Spain. I had two friends murdered. I was in a small little group that looked very deeply into the alleged assassination of the Swedish Prime Minister Olof Palme many years ago, where the exact same setup was behind that assassination as so many others. And it ended up with, I had a visit as well, very, very scary. And I decided to say, it's not worth it to become statistics. So I left, and I've been living now for 20 years in Spain, where we started from absolute scratch. We had absolute nothing. But I've also written a book about this, that with connection into the JFK assassination, many of these other ones, including the Iran-Contras, so many of these things are connected like an octopus, I tell you. And my website is lightonconspiracies.com. That's plural, lightonconspiracies.com. And one of the books, the one I'm referring to now, it's called Coup d'etat in slow motion. Coup d'etat in slow motion. You can find it on Amazon together with the rest of my books as well. I want to say that it's one thing to just be full of it and you know, throw facts around you or alleged facts around you like this. But I have up to date, I've stopped I predicted on international radio. I've done between 500 and 1,000 international radio interviews. I predicted 20 now of these attacks, alleged attacks, up to 2 months before they actually happened on international radio. And in my newsletter, on lightonconspiracies.com, you can go back into the archives and you can see that's when I predicted it, boom, that's when it happened. That's when I predicted it, boom, that's when it happened. And it's between 20 and 59 of these attacks that I pointed out. I cannot guarantee that all 59s are correct, but 20 I know for sure. And it's come so far that, without bragging, but my last name has become a verb. To Damigard, or hashtag Damigarding, is to find hidden clues about the next upcoming attack, because they actually hide clues in the forensic evidence. Sounds absolutely bizarre, but I can tell you more about it today or next
yeah, can
time
you,
or whatever.
Can you go ahead and tell us more about it? And I want to know, is there something that's going to be coming up that you think we should know about?
It's Okay, so like I said, I've been doing this for many years, and in 2014, in the fall, I was contacted by an insider, Anonymous. I'm at a point where I'm being contacted, but from all over the world by people in the intelligence agencies, and I never know who they are. I live like in a minefield, so I have no idea who people are. They've got hidden agendas and whatever, so it's a bit scary. But anyway, there was this guy who contacted me. He said, "You're doing a great job with these false flag operations, but you're missing out on the clues." And I said, "Please say again." He said, "You're missing out on the clues, the hidden clues." And I said, "What hidden clues?" He said, "They always leave hidden clues about the next upcoming attack." And I said, "But why on earth would they do such a stupid thing?" He said, "It's because the law of karma. What you do comes back to you." I was like, I said, "I don't get that at all. Could you please explain?" And what he said, this is his words, not mine. He said that these people that are involved in these type of operations, they're very aware of that in this universe, what you do comes back to you. How you sow, you reap, how you make your bed, that's how you sleep, these type of things. And so they're very afraid of this law of karma. And the way they interpret it, and this is goes back to the Bible and other scriptures as well, is that if you tell the victim, if you inform your victim about what you're going to do, and the victim does not react but consent by silence, then what you do will not come back to you, but the bad karma will come on the victim's shoulders because they should have known better. And he said, in addition, he said, if they show us even in subtle ways and we do not react, and then they manage to pull it off, it even adds good karma to on their shoulders. And I was like, that's the most bizarre thing I've ever heard. And he said, well, that's the way they work. And so I didn't put any weight to his words. I thought, okay, maybe true, maybe not. I just put it in. I mean, I've got like massive like what I call my research vault. You can find it on my website as well. It's 2.3 terabyte of perfectly sorted folders in all operations, all areas. And so I just put it in one of these folders and forgot about it. And then there were these hints that I started finding that were pointing toward four targets. And it was Ireland, Dublin, Ireland. It was Paris, France. It was Copenhagen, Denmark. And it was Florence, Italy. There were just these things that kept popping up, subtle hints pointing. Because also, like if you look at 9/11, for instance, there are like hundreds and hundreds of hints in movies and magazines and all kinds of hints and that 9/11 was going to happen. That and so many other ones. So I thought maybe he's onto something. I don't know. But anyway, then there was a failed attack by what was called or alleged to be ISIS at a power plant outside Dublin. Then came Charlie Hebdo on the 9th of January 2015, which was a shooting in Paris, a mass shooting there, an alleged mass shooting. So I was like, hang on, that's two out of four of these things. So I thought, oh my God, could it really be that he was onto something? So at that point, I was very aware of these drills that are always these drills beforehand. And so the hints were pointing towards a train station in central Copenhagen called Nørreport Station. And so I went out on Facebook and other social media and saying, please, 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 since I'm in Spain, anyone in Copenhagen that are there now, could you please check for me if there's any drills, upcoming drills in Copenhagen? Took like half an hour. I had a friend in Copenhagen mailing me back saying, how funny that you mentioned this. I just passed this poster and he sent me a photo of it where it says, for your security, we're going to have a drill tonight at this train station, that exact train station. So I thought, oh my God, is it possible that I'm onto something here? So I went out on Kevin Barrett's show and three, four big major ones in the US saying, please be aware, please be aware. There could be one, and this was on the 14th of January. There could be one this very evening in Copenhagen. So what happened? Absolutely nothing. So I thought, okay, I made a mistake. Not a big deal. I look like a fool. Who cares? At least I did my best. Then on the 14th of February, exactly 1 month later, on the exact hour, at the exact location, boom, there was a mass shooting in Copenhagen. So I thought, oh my, this is like, this sounds a lot to me like there was a delay, that maybe there was too much attention internationally on that thing because of that I blew the whistle here, that they just postponed it one month. And also they love these dates, you know, like Halloween, like Valentine's, that have these occult meanings that we think, oh, it's so romantic, but underneath it's a whole different ballgame. So then I thought, that's 3 out of 4. So I went out big time warning about Florence in Italy, saying, please, 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 if there's any drills there, if you know about any drills, take your friends and family, go there, bring cameras, and especially the day before and the day when this drill is set to take place, and film the people that are setting out. Make it very, very obvious to them that they are being observed and they are being filmed. So anything they do can be used against them. That's the whole idea. So people went there in Florence, nothing happened, but the day after, it was on the 15th of February 2015, there was a big article in an Italian newspaper saying, failed attack by ISIS in Florence. So I thought, boom, I'm onto something here. And from that very day, as soon as something happened or before something happens, I'm all the time looking for the clues. Where are the clues? Where are the clues? And it's this thing that has made it possible for me to identify this mobile unit, the Global Tour of Terror, because what we're looking at are a global tour of terror. These attacks are aimed at countries that are connected either through NATO or through secret intelligence agreements. Like there's one called Five Eyes. You can, if you Google it, Five Eyes, like the thing you're looking with, Five Eyes. These are the countries, the US, UK, Australia, Canada, and New Zealand. They have a special secret alliance since the Second World War. Then you got Nine Eyes, which are these countries plus an additional 3. And then you got 14 Eyes, which are an additional countries, including Sweden, that is neutral, is part. These are the networks that are being used to carry out these operations. So they look like there's absolutely no connections with them, between them, but there are. That's the whole thing. So, for instance, let me see here. I found a clue at the Fort Lauderdale airport shooting. Every time I say one of these shootings, please add the word alleged. The clue at the Fort Lauderdale airport shooting was for Melbourne, Australia. The one I found there, the alleged car attack there in Australia, that took me to the Westminster Bridge in London. That was 2 months before it happened. I pointed out on Sage Okwe radio, Big Ben, Big Ben, Big Ben, exact location, not the date. I was not sure about that. Boom, happened 2 months later. The clues at the Westminster Bridge pointed towards Stockholm. The ones in Stockholm pointed towards Brussels. The ones in Brussels pointed towards Paris. The ones in Paris pointed towards, and so it goes around and around and around. And many times, this is the thing, the more I've been able to pinpoint this group, I've also been able to pinpoint the same crisis actors, the same directors, the same people running around in SWAT team uniforms in Paris, as in Melbourne, as in Ottawa, as in Dallas, as in, and so on. You know, the same individuals. There's a reason why these SWAT team members or police officer or whoever they are, military, have face masks on. We think it's for their protection. Listen, they've signed up to devote their life to protect us. Why on earth are they having masks on? That is, in the old days, what the terrorists were wearing. And this is exactly it. These are the ones carrying it out against us. So the more I identify them, also I found that the same people are being used as victims over and over again. I got a favorite. She's actually from Sandy Hook. That Sandy Hook, I tell you, 100% absolute false. That school was closed 3 years before it even happened. I forgot her real name now, but I found her in five different of these events. She was one of the neighbors in Sandy Hook. Then she was one of the witnesses in Boston. She was at a mass shooting in a church in New Mexico. She was, let me see here. She was at the Standing Rock thing. Not the Standing, yeah, that was where she was. And then there's one more. The thing with these individuals is that, I don't know, the psychopaths or whatever they are, I mean, I think the level of intelligence is not very high, so they can be easily manipulated and easily used. She's got her own website. You can rent her. She plays the saxophone. She reads poetry. You can rent her for local parties. She lives very close to Sandy Hook. She was organizing poetry festival in Sandy Hook just was it 2016 or 17? Well, I tried to really pinpoint her, but I hadn't found a location that could help me. But this is the thing. They just, you know, like Sandy Hook, Dan, I think his name is Dan Wheeler, if I remember right. He's the father of one of the alleged boys that were shot in Sandy Hook.
Yeah.
He was also in the SWAT team. And, you know, or one of the military people, but you see him in the background, he can't even carry a rifle, right? He's carrying it upside down. It's like they're not good. And these crisis actors, I mean, I love them because they're awful. They suck. And why? Because all the good ones are already taken. You know, the good ones have been in theater plays since they were children, in ads for Coca-Cola or whatever, on movies. So they need to use the absolute bottom pitch of actors. So they're so bad at what they're doing, which is wonderful for someone like me.
I want to ask you this one real quick here, because you see law enforcement, like at Sandy Hook, you know, we saw law enforcement all over the place up there. So what is the involvement of local law enforcement during these false flags?
No, you did not see local law enforcement. You saw people in local law uniforms from local law enforcement. That is the difference. When you listen, I have tapes, you know, when you can hear some of these law enforcement officers speak, they speak Hebrew. You know, these are not, I repeat, the real thing. They look like, but it's like a theater play, once again, being played out and pumped out through media. And also, if you want to look at Sandy Hook, I mean, one of the things I love to do is like when you have aerial footage, when you see media helicopters flying over the area, just pick one person in the crowd, one person, and just see what is that person up to. And you will see that person is walking around like in a way, big circle, repeating the same pattern, because they need the media helicopters over there like for hours and hours. Breaking news, this has just happened. That is why you see people giving CPR for like 45 minutes or 60 minutes in the street in the central London, you know, instead of just taking this poor guy to the hospital, which is like 200 feet down the road. They're doing that. Why are they doing it? Taking all of this time is for the media coverage. And for instance, if you have the Westminster Bridge or the Boston bombing, I also love that one. You look at the aerial footage, just pick anyone, like this guy, Jeff, what was his name? The guy that they said blew off, he's got his leg blown off. There's this guy, I'm sorry, the Boston bombing is quite a long time ago, so I forgot the names, but there's this Mexican guy with a cowboy hat and an American flag that is rolling around with this guy, Jeff Bauman, I believe his name was, where you can see the bone is sticking out of his leg, his whole leg has been blown up, which is awful if it was true. But what I do is I talk to medical staff. I talk to forensic detectives. I talk to police officers. I talk to SWAT team members. I talk to police officers and so on to get it from the source. I get them to look at these things saying, is this, what do you think? And like this guy with a blown off leg, he would have been dead. You know, there would have been a total bleed out very quickly afterwards. His blood pressure would have dropped. He would have been totally pale. But instead, when you look at the guy, just pick him out. You will see he's running. The guy, the Mexican guy, is driving around in this wheelchair. And he just goes around in circles. And at one point, he drops off the this fake leg thing, protestis, no, that's not what you call it. This bone piece, the bone piece is not real. It falls off, so he has to stop the wheelchair, go back, they pick it up, put it back on his leg, and keep driving around. At the Westminster Bridge attack, that one, I absolutely love it. You check it out, and you will see, for instance, like there was this guy they put in a wheelchair. They drove him all the way across this long, long bridge, turn around, drove him all the way back the other way, turn around, drove him all the way back down. And it's the same. Like there's this fireman, fire soldier, firefighter, who he runs up to the fire truck, opens a door on the back of the fire truck, closes, picks up something, closes it, runs, turns around, runs back, opens it, puts back the thing, closes the door, runs in a circle, comes back, open it, puts the thing in, boom, closes it, run. You will see whatever one, Sandy Hook one, there's especially one guy in a yellow shirt, just that make it easy for yourself. Check him out and see how he just walks around in a circle, all of them. And I've been an extra on film sets, you know. I know how film sets are done with cue markers and background action and action, and then you're being told you do exactly the same over and over again so that things can be edited together, cut together, so that there will be a smooth thing in the background. And this is exactly what we see here over and over and over again. So I would say doubt me, but also doubt everything. Just when somebody's trying to scare you, when you see something on the news that makes you go, oh my God, take a step back and just say, I'm going to breathe here for a little while. I'm going to take a little walk. I'm going to pat a dog or sit with a cat. I'm going to go out and smell the grass. Then I will come back when I feel calmer, sit down and watch it again. And then ask myself the question, who benefits from me believing this? Who benefits from me becoming fearful? And watch for the solution. Problem, oh my God, a new virus or whatever it is, that's a problem, that could be awful. My reaction, oh my God, what is the solution? Wait for the reporter, wait for right after the press conferences, when they step forward and say, we will stand united in the face of terror. These are the people who have done it many times. They are key people, key players in the whole thing, and watch for the solution. The solution every single time will be something that will take away your freedom in, you know, more, less and less privacy, more and more cameras, more and more chipping this and eye scanning that. And it's, if you look at the world before 9/11 and you look at the world now, and you, if you had done that over a period of 24 hours, would you even recognize the world from before 9/11 to now? You would not believe that this could happen. And what is it based on? A total inside job. We can discuss how the buildings came down, but now it's very, very out in the open who was actually behind it. It was totally inside, backed by Israel, Saudi money, but US. I'm not talking about the whole government. We're talking about very brutal core criminal elements in right in the center of the deep state.
And how did the buildings come down?
If you ask me, it was a combination of everything they had. It was a combination of controlled demolition, nermothermite, mini nukes, directed energy weapons. I mean, anything that they had to bring these buildings down. And it was a lot more than two towers. It was a lot more than three towers. There were Tower 6 and many of them. There was about 1,600 cars that popped around in the area. Very, very weird ways of half the car burnt, half the car totally intact. The buildings dustified. They turned into dust. I mean, there should have been 13 stories high of just debris from these buildings, if they came down the way we're being told. They're flat next to it's even a hole down, but you've got this massive cloud of dust. That's where it went. What can do that? And that's not normal weapon technology that we are being presented, but it is directed energy technology combined with many of the other ones as well, which companies like Lockheed Martin's are bragging about on their websites. Since 40 years, they've been DARPA as well, has been deeply involved in this type of weapon technology. And it's awful. When you look at it, it's awful, because then suddenly you're not looking at some foreign terrorist that screams Allah Akbar. You're looking at the enemy within. The people that are there to take care of you are the ones doing it to you. And that, in my world, is awful. That is awful. And these individuals should be looked upon as absolute traitors, because they betrayed your trust. They betrayed you, their nation, everything, and with their loyalty into what is called the global elite. But the global elite, they say that they're the top of the pyramid, but I'd say that pyramid is turned upside down, and the point of the pyramid is straight down in hell. The higher up in the pyramid, they say it's the lowest of the low down. And I was thinking, would it be okay if I read some lyrics, a song that I wrote years ago, because I think it's still very much up to date.
Sure, sure.
So let me just find it. Do you know, when I was one of the speakers in Dallas, I was invited by Judith Berry Baker, who was the mistress of Lee Harvey Oswald, the man who is accused of killing President Kennedy. Absolute BS. He was actually sacrificing his life to save Kennedy. That's the real truth about it. If I've ever seen a real hero, it's Lee Harvey Oswald. But anyway, Judith Berry Baker asked me to represent the people of Europe and give a speech on Dealey Plaza after the silent minute on the 22nd of November. And I read these lyrics, and then I gave them to Judith, and she put them on Lee Harvey Oswald's grave afterwards. So they're very, they mean a lot to me. And it's a song I made many years ago. It's called From Prison to Paradise, and I think it describes a lot of what is going on here. Once upon a time, in a place not far from here, there was so much loneliness, despair, and oh, so much fear. Darkness ruled all over the land. There were lightning in the sky, causing wars and separation, with no one knowing why. These evil times raised leaders, disguised as kind and true, hiding the truth in misty fog so only very few people knew. Controlled by an elite few, manipulating you and me, closing out the light and power that can make us all be free. Wake up, wake up, we gotta wake up. Wake up, wake up, we gotta wake up now. Forced by invisible powers, demanded to conform into shapes unknown to mankind, making him totally abnormal. Drowned in debts and sorrows, blaming others for their lot, made man believe to be inferior, feeling tiny like a dot. But then came time of change, covering countries and their towns. Few became many, and soon the prison walls came down. Starting with the men in the mirror, staring right back into their eyes, understanding that this was a chance to stop those hideous lies. Unhappiness is merely an illusion of misery, based on brainwash and a misconception of true reality. From now on, let's build bridges between our souls and hearts, so we together can rejoice when a final change comes to its start. Wake up, wake up, we gotta wake up. Wake up, wake up, we gotta wake up now. Turning prison into paradise may seem too much to achieve, but believe me, it only takes one strong spirit to be free. The true power of a pyramid is never ever at the top. Instead, it's we the people that can make this global game stop. Did you get it? Wake up, wake up, we gotta wake up now.
That was fantastic. I commend you really on your continuing to be brave in order to get the truth out there. Before we go, I think it's important to tell our listeners how this has affected your life, if you don't mind.
Well, it affected me in a way that I meet a lot of beautiful people like yourself. I meet a lot of courageous individuals from around the world that have been standing up in the line of fire. I mean, not as a soldier, but when you stand up and speak truth, you will be attacked at this time in history. But it has also affected me in a way that I've lost friends that was murdered around me. I had to move country, or I chose to move from Sweden quite urgently, and have started from absolute scratch here in Spain. It's made me be looked upon by close friends and some members of family like a bit of a tinfoil hat, but that has changed over the years. And now I'm in a fantastic situation where I tell you, I am in contact with millions of listeners, really, actually millions of listeners. And I get all of these fantastic messages on a daily basis. You can check out my guest book on my website. It's just, it brings tears to my eyes. Because the whole thing is that I approach this arena in a bit of a different way than most people, because I try not to just spread black, awful, heavy, sinister information that will just make people want to hang themselves. That I try to go in and aim the light in the belly of the beast, going into the darkest of the dark corner, but with the light of truth, find out whatever the truth is. I've got nothing invested in trying to find my truth. I'm just trying to find what is going on and how can we stop it. Because if you don't know what the problem is, you cannot find a solution. If we're being told that the problem is this, and then our solution would be totally different than if we found out that the problem was totally different. So a jihadist terrorist waking up for breakfast, you know, having bombs for breakfast, planning to blow us up. If that's the problem, then the solution is one thing. But if the problem is state-sponsored terrorism from the inside of this group of individuals globally that we officially trust, if they're the ones doing it to us, also getting soldiers and police officers, all of them killed by design for their greed, then the solution is very, very different. And the good news is that over the years, I and many other researchers have pinpointed more and more of the individuals that are in these super, super, super criminal networks. And by super, super criminal, I mean that they don't look like criminals. They look very fancy in nice suits and BMWs, bodyguards, and a bit of a flag in the background. They are sometimes super, super, super criminals. If you want to see a real monster, look at George Bush Sr., Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton. These are the type of individuals, monsters, mass murderers, I tell you that. So, I lost the thread now, but it has also cost me a possibility of having and earning my living otherwise than walk. I mean, I'm traveling around asking for donations. I've done that for many years. Now it's slowly changing because now I go on tour. I go on what we call the love tour or the blind date tour, where we go to people's houses. We go around in an RV. I've been now to 15 different countries where we drive home to people in the security of their homes, because I get stopped everywhere because apparently I'm spreading hate speech and bullying. I don't know. Do I feel like a hateful individual? It was like I was on Alfred Labremont Weber. He's an international judge who was on the War Tribune in Kuala Lumpur some years ago, part of sentencing Tony Blair, George Bush Jr., and Dick Cheney for crimes against humanity. I mean, he is the real deal. I was on his show just a few days ago, and we were going Facebook on, no, live on Facebook while doing the interview. So he wrote in an update with Ole Damegaard. He clicked enter, and boom, he was shut down by Facebook for misusing the guidelines of Facebook before we even started. You know, so this is the type of censorship we're up against. My YouTube channel has been shut down. My external hard drives were fried the other day together with my webcam. The cable is, I don't know what happened to the whole thing. My YouTube channel totally deleted, all of it destroyed. You know, so my website was shut down. I had three people work 6 weeks. I kid you not, 6 weeks nonstop to try and cover the website. It was so booby-trapped and so blown to smithereens in a very, very advanced attack that I think True Stream Media as well, they experienced a very, very similar attack. But the thing is, for someone like me to pay three people 6 weeks to recover a website, not easy. So if anybody believes that what I'm doing is of any value, please consider a donation, sign up for my newsletter, sign up for my membership on my website, lightonconspiracies.com. We are also, my sweetheart Kim, an amazing woman who's been by my side through more than 20 years, through heavy fire and artillery. Her passion are dolphins. That's her life. And so what we've done is we've combined, or we started to combine what a friend of ours, he named it conspirituality, the combination of spirituality and conspiracies. So we're going to go to the Azores Islands in the beginning of June, where we're going to spend a week there, where people during the day can swim with wild dolphins, because that is on many people's bucket list, and these creatures are mind-blowingly amazing. And so in the evenings, we're going to, anything people want to ask me, or just sit around a campfire or whatever, where I try to boost and empower them and do everything I can to make a major change in our life. That is one of the things we're planning at the moment. So anyone interested, they're very limited spaces, so go to Light on Conspiracy, conspiracies, it's plural, .com, and check it out there. Because I'm just trying to do every little thing I can. And I also want to show that one person can make a difference. I mean, who am I? I've got no education. I've got nothing except a strong heart and a strong will and the intention of doing good and raising awareness and also be part of letting normal people receive what they're supposed to have, you know, abundance in the form of everything. We're being robbed here, big time, big time, and most people are not aware of it. We are being robbed, and we're being shut down and cut to pieces and raped on so many different levels that it's just not on. And at this point, I think we live in times where everything is totally upside down. So, for instance, institutions that are there to save children, more and more we find out that they're trading, they're trafficking children. The governments are there to protect us? I think not. I'm at a point where I fear border crossings. That's where I am fearful. And I trust people like Hells Angels, former assassins from the CIA. I've got several friends like that. You know, it's bizarre. It's absolutely bizarre. But it's only when you turn it upside down, you see the shop window, okay, that's what they say it is. Turn it 180 degrees upside down. That would be closer to the real truth. And also when it comes to media, that's where you will be able to read more and more fantasy stories. And the real truth is being spread more and more through movies. It's so upside down. So what can I say? Please, before you vaccinate your children or yourself, inform yourself. I beg of you, inform yourself. And don't trust statistics. The one controlling media, it's very easy. The only thing you need is a keyboard and enter, and you can go online. I've been a journalist. I know if you got an online edition, and enter, boom, it's live. That doesn't mean that it's true. The only thing that's true is that I put in something on a keyboard and clicked enter. So you will see the number, for instance, of mass shootings. It's so way off in the US. It's not near. Take away two zeros at least, and then we're back to a lot of these false flags. The alleged mass attacks or terror attacks here in Europe, absolutely nowhere close to the real thing. The alleged bombings going on in Sweden at the moment, I've been tracking down every single one of these alleged ones that are carried out by the enemy and within. Sweden is under heavy attack at the moment. There's been, like, as far as I know, 22 bombings, but in the immediate it says 250. So where did that come from? And here we say it's the same again. So fear porn, propaganda. Ask yourself, who benefits from me believing it? And what are they doing to my life while I'm sitting just nodding, consenting, saying, okay, yes, I understand you have to do this for my protection. Absolutely not true. Absolutely not true. Take back your power. That's what I say. And people say, but how do I do that? What can I do? I'm just an ordinary person. Well, what you can do is spread goodness around you. Be kind. Go out. There's so many. Kindness is cool. I tell you that. It's not a wimpy thing to be kind. People think I'm rough. I'm tough. That is cool. It is not. That is weakness. Look at Jesus. I mean, my God, how kind was he? They nailed him to the cross. Why? Because he hacked the system. He was a super hacker that cracked the matrix, saying the highest solution of them all is love. Whatever the problem is, meet it with a higher frequency, and that is love. So go around, instead of doing drive-by shootings, do drive-by huggings. Go out, hug a cup, hug a tree. Be kind, go out, do selfless service. You know, don't expect anything in return. Just do fantastic things without, if you do it for something to in return, it's business. If you do things so that you will look better, it's just ice cold business. That is not love. Selfless service. Just do it, do it, do it. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. The thing with kindness also, I love it because it's like the thing that if you can do something selflessly, it gives you joy. If it's selflessly, so the other person, the receiver, can feel that there are no strings attached, it will give that person joy. And every single person that sees it will give them joy and inspiration to spread it on. So spread it on. Take the power back. Go out, do good in your community. Do good around you. And don't stop being fearful. Stop listening to this fear porn. Because where does it come from? I'm rambling on again, but I will continue. Where does the fear come from? When you look out the window now, do you see any shooting? Are you in a war zone? Are there like heaps of dead bodies with the coronavirus or any other virus? Are you there? Very few people, thank God, are not. So where does it come from? It comes through this black screen in front of you. It's called a smart TV. I would say it's a satanic TV. Change anything that's called smart with evil. That would be more in a perfect description of it. That black screen that you often have in the middle of your living room, even in your children's room, I'm guilty as well, that is like an open sewage of propaganda. An open sewage. I tell you, there's this fantastic button on remote. It's red. It says off. Try it. Click on it. It could change your life. You will have withdrawals maybe for a few days, but after that you will start to feel... I'm starting to feel better. I don't know what's going on. It's because you've stopped the MKUltra pumping up of your poor brain. What we need is real brainwashing. Give it a good rinse, a good wash, and get all the crap out of there so that you can start making real decisions about life instead of just being pushed around like sheep. We're being looked upon as useless eaters. Henry Kissinger's quote, there's another monster for you. Absolute horrific war criminal, giving the Nobel Peace Prize. I mean, come on, wake me up. Anyway, useless eaters and cannon fodder. That is how they describe us. So what does that tell you? They are not there because they care about us. On the contrary, they just want us as slaves and get rid of a lot of us through vaccines and other horrific things. So how to take the power back? Look for ways to become fearless. The less fearful you are, the less you can be controlled. So whatever gives you joy, meditate, go out, do kind things, be with animals, smell roses, be with children, listen to music, be with your family, wake up and just see. When you turn off the TV, you maybe look around and say, oh my God, I've got children, I forgot about that. I haven't seen them since they were 3 and now they're 16. Maybe we should start talking together. You know, maybe we should have dinner together once in a while, or how about every single day? Because that thing on its own helped keep families together, just having dinner together, care about each other. And I want to go back And just finish with, you know, frequencies are really interesting, because when you look at quantum physics or physics at all, everything is frequencies or vibrations. Even a hard table made of wood, it's not solid. We know that atoms are moving around. They have a specific frequencies that make them at this time at a constant thing. You put it in the fire, it becomes smoke, different frequency. It's totally like this. So everything's got a different frequency. And in this frequency, what happens is, and this is where Mr. Superhacker Jesus and other fantastic individuals like him, I'm not religious, but I tell you, he was onto something. What he found out was, I believe, is when you do experiments in laboratories, you can see that if you have a very high frequency and a very low frequency, and you let the two of them meet in a laboratory, what happens is that it's not that they start fighting each other and end up 50-50 in the middle, like in a gray zone. Absolutely not. The lower frequency just gets annulled. Boom, it disappears. And what is the lowest frequency in this universe? I would say one of the lowest ones are absolute pure terror, fear, fear, fear. One of the highest ones, or the highest ones, according to scientists, beyond the frequency of thought, is what we call love. Not lust or Hollywood love, but real love. The thing that makes a father jump into a fire, a building on fire to save a child or whatever, that is real love. So just like when you go into a dark room, when you switch on the light, it's not that the shadows are fighting, screaming, I'm not leaving, I'm not leaving. No, it just, boom, disappears. And it's the same with love. So what Jesus said, I think, the way I interpret him is, he said, listen, guys, why don't we do it like this? If this is how it works in this matrix, why don't we do it like that? Whatever the problem is, meet it with a higher frequency, and it gets solved. And in this case, why not go for the highest one? So meet everything with love. But love is not like weakness. This is what many people say. Oh, he's such a wimp. He's so love. Absolute. I'm talking about love as a force. Absolute force. The weakness is fear and terror. But these dark individuals or these dark forces, I don't like dark and light. I don't like these anomalies, but that is what our words are being given to us. Anyway, so they are trying to keep us really low in fear mode, because that is where they can control us, because they are on a very low level frequency themselves. So they need us to be lower where they can control us. So the more we free ourselves, the safer we are. That is where I live, totally without protection. I have no guns. I've got no alarms. I lock the door when I go out from my house. But otherwise than that, I've got no encryption. I have my address on my website. I'm here. I've had death threats. I've had all kinds of things. I've got people killed around me. Am I scared? Sometimes, yes. But most of the time, I really try to just let it go, let it go, let it go. Because that is my protection. By letting my hands down, by standing in peace, in harmony, and with the intention of raising this to the next level. Transcend it. Don't see the other person as a sinner. See the sin, not the sinner. You know, see what this is, an individual, whatever he's doing. Most of these people have been manipulated. They have been totally messed up in the upbringing or whatever. Sometimes you cannot judge them for what they're doing, the same way that you cannot be judged for everything you do. So judge the sin, not the sinner. And then let's just see if we can transcend this whole thing and make a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful future together. So after this, is it okay if I end with a prayer?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Once again, I'm not religious, but I am a spiritual being like we all are. And there's this beautiful prayer that my friend and Raja Yoga teacher, that Raja Yoga is the science of the mind. I'm stiff like a log, but I'm in an international Raja Yoga teacher, which is the science of the mind, a 5,000-year-old philosophy on how to deal with your brain, because that is where the enemy is. You know, I just want to say fear. Where is fear? Can you give me some fear? Is it blue? Is it red? Is it square? Where is it? Is it over there? Is it to the right? Is it to the left? No, it's between your ears. It is between your ears. That's the only place where fear is. My fear is in my head, your fear is in your head. So where can you deal with it? In your head. That's where it should be dealt with. So the prayer goes like this. May the entire universe be filled with peace and joy, love and light. May everyone, and especially the ones who hurt us, be filled with peace and joy, love and light. May the light of truth overcome all darkness, so victory to that light. We all need to heal, and I tell you, the worst assholes in your lives are also the best teachers. I hate to say it, but that is it. They are pointing to things in you. When you react, they're pushing things in you that are not healed. Once you're healed, it won't hurt you anymore. So it's a double-edged, these people that are really getting to you, they just show you you're not whole there yet. So heal yourself and become more and more whole in yourself and freeing yourself. Lift yourself, help others, do random acts of incredible kindness, and just spread joy and live by example. You know, so many people that goes into this so-called truth movement, what they're spreading is horrible stuff. We're doomed. It's over. Everything is evil. Everything is horrible. We might as well just go and shoot ourselves. I mean, what you're doing there is you're helping the deep state to control us. But I'm not pointing fingers. I mean, everybody goes through this when they start awakening up. It's just like when you lose somebody you love. You have to go through these stages of absolute denial and then sadness and depression and sorrow and anger and doubt and all of this until you come out on the other side. Now I have a head, I've been on this road for many years than most. And so I have a head start because I've been going through all of these stages and paranoia and stuff like that before. And now I'm at a point where I feel that the important thing is lead by example. Show people around you that you can carry this type of information and still be in balance, still be focused on something good, something creative, something that is good for all. So show it, because it's not easy, I tell you that. It is not easy, but what is easy? You know, surfing the waves, not easy, but the better you get at it, well, here's just another one. And we made that one as well. You know, and if you fall, just get up again. And if you fall again, well, you just found another way of not doing it. Just get up again and get up again and get up again and get up again. And in the end, we will have accomplished something that we deserve, because we need to deserve it as well. There's a reason why they call us useless eaters and totally asleep, and they're treating us without any respect, because we don't deserve it. I mean, how can they keep doing the same thing to us over and over in the hundreds, and we're still buying it? I mean, that shows me, at least, somebody totally numb and unconscious and asleep. So make yourself proud of yourself and wake up. This is a good time to wake up. Smell the coffee. It's a mandatory course. You can wait until it's too late, or you can do it now and be part of the solution instead of the problem.
Very
and
good.
I will be quiet.
Well, you know what? You've given us a lot to think about, and I love your message about love and light. I will do anything that I can to help spread your message. And is there anything else? I know I asked you that before, but is there anything like to be concerned about?
I'll give you a few clues about the way how you can spot absolute crap operations. It's one of the things that I found over the years is that as part of spreading fear, they, just like when you do in MKUltra Ultra, you know, when they try to mind control people, which they've been experimenting on since the 50s, both in the US and UK and Russia and many other places, how to be able to control an individual or the masses. And the way they break people down, you will have seen it in many different movies, when they create assassins and so on, they break them down through absolute horror, torture, rape, many kinds of mental traumas. And the whole idea is to break the individual down so that in the end, the mind just says, this is too much for me, boom, I'm out of here. And it's just like a cell, one cell that just creates, boom, a similar, an identical version of a cell. So the personality just goes, bloops, and suddenly you've got two personalities in one body. That is how, what they want. And with some of these people, they have created multiple personalities. But to be able to activate one or the other of these personalities so that they can be used in devious ways, they need a so-called trigger. And that trigger is sometimes, or the way they do it is, for instance, they can play Mary Had a Little Lamb every time this individual is being brutally raped, for instance, so that in the end, every time a trauma is inflicted on this person, that individual just hears this, Mary had a little lamb, Mary had a little lamb, blah, 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 blah. And in the end, it goes so far, or it's become so far that in the end, they just need to play Mary Had a Little Lamb, and boom, that person is activated, the other personality is activated. I'm sure you've seen in movies where somebody is working at a gas station or whatever, and he gets a phone call, he picks up the receiver, and do-do-do-do-do-do-do, and suddenly he goes into zombie mode and turns into some CIA assassin or whatever. It's standard procedure. You will have the CIA, the KGB, many, many agencies have used this. So the trigger is very, very important. That could be anything from a song to a symbol to a phrase that can activate these things. So over the years, one of the things that I kept bumping into were shoes. There were always shoes on the crime sites. And I'm like, I find it weird. Because they're almost always, if you're in the US and Western Europe, they're Nike trainers. And I don't know about you, but last time I was shot, my trainer didn't fly off. You know, it's like even with a shotgun, it's not like the shoe just flies off. And these were often lying there right in the street, but inside the cordon of crime scene. So in my research role that I mentioned before, I mean, I categorized everything on a daily basis. And I had this folder called shoes because I kept finding these shoes in weird places. And this just started building up. And in the end, I had like almost 1,000 images of shoes in many different areas, but it was always connected to death through viruses or through airplane crashes, mass shootings, terror attacks, you name it, shoes. And when it was in Western European countries or the US, Nike trainers, 99.9% Nike trainers. And when it's in Asia, it's slippers, and most of the time slippers, but it will always be not a pair of slippers, like so that you got like one victim, it would be slippers just in a pile. And so I was very confused about this until I was seeing that I think at least from the Holocaust, if you remember the Holocaust, what is the symbol of death? You see these alleged death camps. There are these big mountains of shoes where people say, this is the proof that a million people were killed. I would say this is a proof that there's an awful lot of shoes in this building. You have to question things. And I've done, the Holocaust is an area that you're not allowed to do. If you go into that area, they will blow your head off because that is a no-go zone, because it's pointed to one state, which is behind a lot of the manufactured terror. You have Mossad, its motto is war by deception, and this is exactly what we're up against, in combination with the CIA and Saudi, the whole shebang is, I've done so many shows about this. Anyway, so the shoe as the symbol of death, then we had the Korean War, many photos of shoes or boots of soldiers just lying around in the streets where they said there had been a massacre. Then you had the Six-Day War between Israel and Egypt, out in the middle of the desert, all of these boots. And I've been to deserts, and I tell you, that is not a place where you want to take off your boots, because your feet would boil, they would be fried. So why on earth did all of these soldiers just throw away their boots? The Balkan War, the same. And then it just kept on and on and on. And then with the mass shootings, I mean, what was the symbol for the Las Vegas shooting? It was a shoe. And you had a boot with the American flag on. There were boots on the on the coffins. You had the image that was on New York Times and many other newspapers was a Nike trainer and a stain of blood next to it. You had Dayton, Ohio, just a few months ago. There were 50 Nike trainers or trainers in a pile on a parking lot, and cordoned off with police tape, saying this is a mass murder. I would say, where are the bodies? Please explain to me how could, if there's 50, I counted them. There was 50 shoes, some of them with the ties undone. So. Were these people when they got killed, did they just fly out of them? I mean, were they vaporized? Well, how explain to me what are these shoes doing there and why? And you will see these shoes often shooting outside nightclub in Baltimore. What is the image of a Nike trainer on the road? So anyway, I was very, very confused with these trainers. And then I was contacted by a source. Anonymous once again, who was a Freemason, and he said, I've heard you talk about these shoes, and he said, there is something you need to know, and it's like within Freemasonic rituals, we always, when we take one shoe off, and often the trouser leg up, that shows that this individual is doing it voluntarily. Two shoes off means sacred homage to the sacred space where this ritual is being carried out. He said that the reason why you see all of these victims or alleged victims with one shoe off or two shoes off are exactly that. It shows Freemasons around the world in the know-how that it's our operation. Okay, I said, that's interesting. And the more I looked into it, there were these ways that they communicate in a wordless manner with colors, for instance. There are color codes. Now you got the deep purple color in the U.S. Where many, many times in these shootings, somebody in the background, right in the background, would have purple hair or purple shirt or purple this or purple that, purple balloons, purple. In Europe, when it's their operations, it's more to the magenta account. And it's both of them are funded by George Soros. It's George Soros' Purple Revolution, including with the mass invasion of immigrants. That's that the whole thing with the color codes. But anyway, the shoes, back to the shoes. So I started pointing this out, and I did one presentation that I still is out there, and it's called The Soulless, S-O-U-L, The Soulless Shoes of Death, where I point out I found these shoes in more than 50 countries, all connected to death. And most of these photos were taken by photographers from Associated Press and Reuters, both of them controlled by Rothschild, so and owned indirectly by them. So anyway, I kept doing shows and shows and shows. And then I was on one show together with my friend, a former independent black ops contractor called Cody Snodgrass, who was working under the Clinton administration doing all kinds of horrific stuff during more than 20 years. He was traveling around the world in a ski mask with gloves doing horrible things in covert operations. And then it came to a point, it's a long story, but it came to a point where he had a near-death experience and totally changed his life. Then kept undercover for more than 20 years, contacted me, and I then helped him step forward as a whistleblower. And since then, we've done many, many, many interviews. Cody Snodgrass, incredible information from this individual. Very, very brave. Anyway, so we were doing a show, and then he said, I tell you, there's another whole new level to shoes that you are not aware of. I said, please tell me. He said, they're using them as a global mind control trigger. He said, for so many years, we have been seeing different, violent crimes with death, blood, and destruction in the background, alleged mass murder, and so on. And what have our subconscious seen? The shoe. So we got blood and dead bodies in the background and a shoe. So every time we see that, every person in marketing or advertisement will know that what I'm talking about is true. That's why they use logos and jingles and so on to affect your subconscious. So what Cody said, that shoe has been used there as a trigger because we see the blood. Oh my God, oh my God, we're traumatized. And then I've spoken to a psychologist. He said that when that happens, our eyes is trying to look away. And it's trying to find something safe to rest on. and there's the shoe. So you got like a double hit, like boom, boom. First the blood and the gore, and then the shoe. So boom, boom, and you're not even aware of it. And it's this, I mean, what cheaper type of mass mind control program can you have than old shoes? I tell you, it's the same. It's the same reason you will see shoes lying on highways. I don't know in the US, but here in Europe, you will drive down the highway and there will be a single shoe. And it's like, every time for years, I've been thinking about, where are all these people who lose one shoe? But how cheap is it to just throw out a shoe? Thousands of people in cars are passing every single day seeing the shoe. And every time the shoe is there, it activates the trauma connected to these other horror things that they've seen through their whole life. And also, what is the first thing you put on in the morning? You wake up, you put on the radio, you hear about horror and crimes and mass shootings, and you put on your shoes. Boom, boom, you're activated again. You're in fear mode. So Cody said, I can guarantee you that the shoe is used as a global mind control trigger to activate us, and it's perfect. It's cheap. It works beyond borders. It all international languages, doesn't matter, in all different countries, and it's been used around the world. I tell you, in my presentation there, I show you. So, what after that? I lost the thread here now, but.
No, you're good. I want to ask you this real quick while you're trying to think about what you're going to say. A friend of mine had pointed out that they had looked at, what is his name? Tom Hanks. Instagram is really weird.
Yeah.
He's been involved in a lot of different things, horrible things. But that they saw like some of his pictures, he just had one shoe on a couch, like all these pictures of shoes and things like that.
I think I was one of the first people that started spreading this. I'm sorry.
No, you're okay.
No, it's a very, very strange. I don't know anything about Tom Hanks. I know Hollywood is one pit of very weird individuals with many weird things going on in the background. I don't know specifics about him, but his Twitter account is very, very bizarre, to say that he's lots of these shoes, lots of children's shoes, lots of gloves. I mean, very Freemasonic, I would say. Or he's very much into shoes. Anyway, so I started pointing out these shoes in hundreds of shows, and now people from all over the place are sending me photos of shoes. And so now they changed the agenda a little bit. So now, for instance, the latest alleged mass shooting in Thailand just a few days ago, look at the car in the middle of the street where the shooter said to have been on the inside of the mall before he started shooting. Here we have this car outside, no skid marks, standing right across, parked over the grassy part in the middle of the main lane there. And then you got some blood on the grass, that's it. And then three shoes, three trainers right there. No logic whatsoever. This is just one, and there was another shooting in a tire shop mall just a few. It was in January. What was one of the main images? A shoe right in the middle. You had an alleged stabbing in the UK, which was labeled a terror attack. Okay, how can a stabbing be a terror attack? But there you go. So where was it? Were there any shoes in the street? No, but it was right outside a shop called Boots. And there was a second attack right outside a shop called Shoe Zone. Do you know when the terror attack happened in Stockholm? Look behind the truck. What is in the image? You have to think about how your subconscious see the whole image, not just the words or the center of the image. Your subconscious just takes it, the whole thing in. And you have the massive big thing, sign, shoes, there as well. So anyway, I've started pointing this out in hundreds and hundreds of interviews, and people all over the world now are very aware of it. So now it seems like they've started to fade it over into something different than shoes, because it's becoming too obvious. So what have they so faded it into? Bicycles. Another thing that is very ordinary and safe for you, you don't really notice it. Like if there were pink umbrellas everywhere, you would notice it. But here, a bicycle. So look at the bicycles now, because we've started to have like drive-by shootings on bicycles, and when there's been a terror attack, what is there? Bicycles, right in the center. You have to look in the center of the image, and sometimes these bicycles are standing upside down, just like when you're changing a tire. I mean, how is that possible after a terror attack? But it's there. It affects your subconscious. Look at the images from the alleged coronavirus. I say alleged. I mean, I can go into great detail about that. I really hope that what we're being told is not true. I believe it's not. I think the numbers are way up there. But I tell you, it's man-made. That I can guarantee you. And you got Bill Gates and the Melinda Gates Foundation in the background together. They had a simulation. They love to call these simulations. That's exactly a drill. On the 18th of October, it was called the 102 event. Go in there. They go through the whole, they practice the whole thing, but there the coronavirus outbreak was in South America. But it took place and it affected 65 million people in the end. The whole thing was gone through. There's plenty of videos they go through, they describe the whole thing. They've got fake news footage and all of these things prepared. And then where did it happen? In a different location. But that's how these drills are used. So I tell you, if you want to find out what's going on with the coronavirus, ask Bill Gates. He's one of the people. And the coronavirus patent, as far as I know, is owned by a company called PIR Bright, Par Bright, which is also founded by the exact same individual, Bill Gates, who is in his TED Talks and other talks. He talks about how vaccinations can help get the population down by saving lives. How can you save lives and the population number will go down? You cannot. That is depopulation through vaccines. And that is what he's saying more or less indirectly. He keeps repeating it in different interviews. So once again, it looks beautiful on the surface. Oh, fantastic. He's spending all of these millions for helping people. Absolutely not. Totally part of the agenda. New world order, depopulation, vicious as they can get. I say that you don't have to stand by this. I take full responsibility for what I'm saying. But anyway, this bicycle thing is look out for the shoes and the bicycles, and you will start finding them over and over and over again. So in the end, it becomes like a joke. You say, like, oh my God, another one. Oh, come on. Was he really shot outside a boot shop? Is that shoe? Look at the shoes. Where did they come from? Give me an explanation how 50 trainers can be lying in a parking lot and that can be proof of a mass shooting. Where did the victims go?
I tell you what, this is unbelievable. I really gonna have to bring, I just don't know what to say about it, but wow, you've really educated us and we have a lot to look at and think about. I know that they're definitely gonna want me to bring you back. I hate to cut it short, but I want to end this by saying, like I said, kudos to you, and I think what you're doing is very brave. And I will definitely make sure that, I keep tabs on you. You're welcome to come back here anytime, Ole, and I want you to stay safe. Many blessings to you, and I really appreciate your time.
Can I turn it around and say you got a beautiful platform? I will be there with you as many times as you want. Any type, any case you want to look into in great detail or on a general view, whatever. Let's together help make a difference. I also want to speak directly to people in uniforms, SWAT teams, police officers, many of these individuals that have such a good heart, signed up for what they thought was the right thing to do and has now been totally hijacked and are in a very, very difficult situation where they don't know who to trust, who to talk to, because they feel that, oh my God, what I'm doing is awful. It's awful. And it's against my own people or innocent people in other countries that I was told were terrorists, but it turns out that they're just farmers, but they are living on areas where poppy fields are growing or there's oil or uranium or whatever. And I'm supposed to kill them just because of that. So many people are in difficult situations. And I tell you, get me anywhere, anytime. frontline, not a problem whatsoever. Behind, in secret meetings with police officers, SWAT teams, whatever, you can have plastic bags over your head. I don't need to know anything about you. Anything I can do to help raise awareness of what's going on so that you will not be, continue to be used as brutal tools and or enforcers of violence against ordinary people. You have to inform yourself. You're not just anyone. As soon as you put that uniform on, you have a loyalty. You have a duty, but your duty is not to them. It is to us. And you have to understand that. And there's nothing I don't care about. Well, I can lose my pension. Well, sorry, that's just the way it is. It is. Lose it, but be an honorable individual and stand up for what is right and true. Soldiers, please understand there's a reason why there's more suicides than people killed in battle. And these so-called battles, you go and fight wars in Afghanistan and Iraq. What the hell was that all about? Because if you noticed, it was because of 9/11, they say. Yeah, but where were all these supposed hijackers from? Was there any Iraqi? I don't think so. Any Afghani? I don't think so. And nine of these alleged attackers are still alive, flying commercial airlines. Go figure that one. So you've been taken for an absolute ride, total lie and deception. So this whole thing, I must say about the US, you know, honor the flag and all of this thing, fair enough, but what the hell are you doing in the rest of the world? You are all over the place here and nobody wants you. Go home, take these weapons, instead of forcing your ways of living upon other countries, melt them down, make them into plows or whatever can do good for people. Use soldiers for something that is really creative. Help poor people. Get cities that are really, you know, worn down and so on. Use the military force to build it up and make it flower and beauty around the whole thing instead of being all over the place, just controlling. There are no enemies to the US because it's like Mike Tyson in a daycare center. Well, the baby peed on my foot, so I had to kill him by knocking his head off. Your military power is so big that the rest of us like, you're right. Like Denmark, there was a politician years ago in Denmark, he said, let's just, instead of have a defense, let's just have an answering phone that says both in English and Russian, we surrender. That's a lot cheaper. Boom, that's it. So this whole thing about defense, I tell you not. In the old days, it was called the War Ministry. That is it, the War Department. Defense, that is absolute bullshit. There is nothing to defend. And everybody in the war industry or weapons industry, shame on you, including Sweden. I say a neutral country that I grew up in, shame on you with some of the most advanced weapon technology produced in an, oh God, that really gets to me. I mean, at least be honest about it and say, okay, we produce mass killing weapons because it's great profit and we don't care about guts and blown up people and innocent this and that. But in an innocent country, it's not good.
Well, I can tell you're very passionate about it. And that, like I said, I know you have much more to offer and I'm going to have you back on the show. I hate to end it. I really do, but we're out of time. Like I said, take care and please stay in touch with us. Okay.
Invite me back. I'll be anytime you want, as long as you want.
Now, that was an informative show. I highly suggest you visit his website. It's called lightonconspiracies.com. And there he has a ton of topics that you can research, and I definitely will have him come back. If there's something on his website that you would like for me to specifically invite him back to talk about, let me know. Like, shoot me a message and say, hey, K-Town, can you, you know, have Ole come back and talk about such and such, okay? And I will invite him back. I mean, he was a great guy to talk to, very willing to share what information he has with my listeners, and that always wins favor with me. Did you enjoy this one? Let me know your thoughts, but please don't comment if you don't know anything about false flags and you haven't done any research and you're just making a, you know, just a knee-jerk reaction, and that is just not smart at all. I mean, you have to educate yourself on these subjects and what he says. You have to dig deeper before you regurgitate anything that makes you sound you know, not very smart. Okay. It's too hard for people to think nowadays, so they just judge. And it's totally ridiculous. A mind always works better when it's open. All right. I want to thank my producer tonight, Kim, and the Mysterious Radio team. I am your host, K-Town. I want you to have a great night, and I will see you next time on Mysterious Radio.
Like the show? Get more Mysterious Radio on our website. And don't forget to visit our Twitter and Facebook page.